Good morning, everybody. I'm Patsy. Well, this is Our Town Has Plenty in Hastings and St. Leonard's. This is the wonderful Kev, who everybody knows. And this is Tim Barlow. So, yeah, we have plenty here. And Tim's plenty in poetry, literary world. Aren't you, Tim?
Yes, thank you very much for that. I'll take that.
I'll take that, he says. So we're gonna toast you. So what we do is what is common here is we toast Our Town Has Plenty. Thank you for joining us this morning, Tim.
It's a real pleasure.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Thank you for inviting me.
Nice. Okay. So,
Go right into it.
Okay. So, morning, everybody. We're really lucky. So, Tim, when we approach people, we're very lucky when they say yes. And we book them months in advance, which is wonderful, because we've got this coming up, we've got this festival in a town with, I don't know how many festivals we have. Do you know?
I'm not even sure. I think we're 40 plus.
Yeah. 40 plus.
Oh, okay. More than 15, definitely.
Woof, it's a leap, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're lucky because Tim said yes, and we get the organ grinder. Is that the right word?
Instead of the monkey.
You're not the monkey. No.
I guess we timed this just to coincide with the festival, the book festival and the book festival fringe, which are coming up in just a couple of weeks, aren't they?
So excited
we're
much?
Talk about that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a busy time and there's lots going to be on in September. So, very exciting.
Nice. So, first on your list, because you came with a really comprehensive list, which I really like.
Yeah, I like a list.
So we're desperate to get in it, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick this up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a new book.
Mm-hmm. The smell of a new book.
It makes me dribble. They're like my best friends. They sit, as my husband will stand testament to, all over my side of the bedroom. It's like a library. There are books on books on books on books. There's nothing like a new book. Or a well-loved pre-owned book, I must admit. But, love it.
And this one is hot off the press and not even out yet. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. This is just the second copy of Poet Town. I was sent this by the editor, Richard Newham Sullivan, who has put this thing together. He's been working on it for a couple of years.
Yeah,
and he's kept the first edition for himself, obviously the first copy, but he sent me the second one nicely. This is an anthology of poetry produced by poets old and new, really. It includes some classic poets like Byron and Keats, Christina Rossetti, Edward
Christina
Lear.
Rossetti, yeah.
There's about 20 of those classic poets who had some sort of connection with Hastings.
They did. They have plaques around town, don't
That's
they?
Right. Yes, a lot of them do. So they either lived here for a while or they stayed here or they had relatives here or whatever, or they were inspired by Hastings. So that's one section of the book. And then the other section is modern poets. So Richard's invited submissions from anybody in the area. Mm. And he picked about 52 of us to go in there, so we've each got between about 1 and 4 poems in there each.
Like a pack of cards.
That's right. I wonder if you had that in mind.
And you're in there?
Yes, I've got 2 poems in there, luckily. This is very exciting. It hasn't hit the streets yet, but it's going to be available in all the bookstores from September onwards. Mm-hmm. And there's a big launch event on the 18th of September at the book festival in the Observer building. So there's going to be people who are in the book, Henry Normal, Selena Godden, and a few of us other lesser mortals will be actually performing, and Richard the editor will be there to explain a little about it. And hopefully sell lots of copies.
Nice one. So the Observer building, mm-hmm. September the
18th.
Good one.
Thursday night, I think.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's part of the main book festival.
Yeah. So this is a bit of an anthology, a local anthology, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
We like that. Yeah. We like that a lot.
The poetry of Hastings and thereabouts.
Yeah, nice one.
Really nice. Yeah. So exciting.
It is. I brought this for you. This span out of it. This is a sampler, so it's got about 10 of us poets who are in the book.
Thank you.
That came out a few months ago, but you can keep that if you like, for your bookshelves.
Amazing, yeah.
That goes on a scumbag press. I like that. I like that a lot.
Fantastic. Nice. I don't know why I took my glasses.
It's on sugar paper. Whoa, yeah. Look at this. I like
it. It's kind of zini and yeah, the type's good. Lovely as well. It looks like a really lovely DIY lo-fi punk rock.
You can tell we're booky people. You pick the book up and it's like, oh, you just want to read it. Now.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to smell it.
Yeah, exactly. You just want to, you know, just want a quiet corner.
Yeah.
I would find myself in what is now Waterstones, used to be Otterkers before they took over. And I would get in the bookshop and I would slide down the wall.
Right.
It was just the thing. She's like, oh, gosh, it was so good. So, yeah. So what else are you involved in with? Carry on about Poet Town.
A lot of the poets in there are part of this massive community. You know, they say you can't throw a stone in Hastings without hitting a poet. There must be hundreds of us. And,
that's got to be a meme now, isn't it?
There's a great community. There are loads of open mic nights and poetry groups, you know, groups of poets who study poetry, some who perform it, some who recite it. There's all sorts going on. For example, this weekend I was at the Poetry Salon in St Leonard's here at Christchurch, which is run by Chris McKenna.
Yeah, Chris McKenna, the jolly postman.
Yes,
the Buddhist jolly sweet postman. Yeah, he's nuts about poetry. Though, yeah. Every day he posts something. Yeah.
So he got 21 of us in a room in a circle and we read T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets, which is a monstrous piece of work. You know, it took us well over an hour to get through it, but we'd go around the circle. We nearly did two laps, I think, of people reading a section each. And it was quite an amazing event, you know. It's like an incantation by the end, you know. It was quite moving.
Did you do it in the church itself?
In the sort of church hall next to the church.
Sure.
So there's things like that. There's other groups. There's Poetry for the People, which is run by Della Reynolds. They meet every month in the Victoria Hotel. And that's a group of, it's quite a small group. There's usually about eight of us there. Mm. But we talk about poetry mainly and set each other challenges for the following month.
Love that.
And then there's open mic nights. There's the one that I'm most involved with is A Load of Poets, which is on my T-shirt.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
You can decipher this. This was created by an artist friend of mine called Sue Bradshaw. So thanks, Sue.
Yeah.
That's a very busy night down at 1200 Postcards on Queen's Road. That takes place on the second Thursday of every month. And we usually get about 20 poets reciting there. And it's a busy room full of people for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
I love that you post your notes for that when you do it as well.
Yeah.
So you can see how people appear, and you know, then you've got like a little bit of a note maybe that's inspired you next to their name and the title of the poem, and
that's right,
just your handwritten notes are really actually quite lovely to look at. So
good.
Enjoy that.
It's a nice reminder of who performed, I think, the day, you know. Good.
What got you about poetry? What was when did that begin?
It's a fairly recent thing for me, really. I've always been interested in writing. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be the next Jack Kerouac or something. And, so I've always written throughout my life, but never got anything published until now, which I'll tell you about later. I did a master's degree in creative writing recently. I realised that you could still get a student grant up to the age of 59. So when I was 59, I enrolled in an MA. And I just passed that a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But that was mainly about novel writing and short story writing and non-fiction writing. But poetry really kicked off when I went down to 1200 Postcards. It was 3 years ago.
Really?
The first one. Yeah.
Wow.
So I lived near there, and I just saw it advertised. I thought I'll wander down. And it was set up by a couple of people who were still vaguely involved in it. There's Vicky Alice and Sara Young. Mm-hmm. They set it up, and I just went down knowing nothing about it. And I was just entranced. It was amazing. Mm. And I thought, well, I'd better have a go at this. So the following month, I did my first ever poetry reading. And it's all snowballed from there, really.
Great. It grabbed you.
It did, really did. It's a great deadline to have. You know, you have to produce a couple of poems by the following month to read out. So it really encourages you to produce something.
Can I ask you, because I've written poetry in my lifetime several times. I've gone into big, like, oh, I'm going to write this. Do you have a style of poetry? Because Kath's definitely got a style, I've noticed. Mm. And I've got a style. Is that a thing for everybody? Because I've never asked this question.
Yeah.
Is like people, you can tell someone's written a song because you go, oh, that's a so-and-so, because they've got a type of you know, a style.
Yeah.
Is that the same with poetry for you?
I think I'm probably still trying to find my style, but I try lots of different things. So I do some really structured poetry, like I like to write sonnets, for example, or a quatern, or haikus and things like that, so which are very rigid format. But on the other hand, I like to do some free verse as well, where things don't have to rhyme and it doesn't have to be a set pattern or anything. More prosy. But a lot of the other poets I see, they do have their own style, you know. You know pretty much what to expect.
John Cooper Clarke.
Yeah,
he has a style, doesn't he? And he's a very, very similar each time. It's just a change of words, but his cadence is always the same.
He's still great. I saw him at the London Palladium this year.
Did you?
It's funny, Henry Normal calls him his own tribute band now because he's been doing the same thing for about 50 years. Still does the same poems.
Sure.
But I love John Cooper Clarke.
Yeah.
What's a quatern?
A quatern is, it's got four stanzas, and the first line is repeated four times. So the first line becomes the second line of the second stanza, the third line of the third stanza, and then the fourth and final line of the whole poem.
That's cool. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I quite like those poems that go, you read it one way and it's one perspective, and you read it the other and it's completely different. I'm like, yes, can I see that?
That's very clever.
Let's try that one out. Yeah. I haven't tried it.
Nice one.
So, there are other open mic nights as well. There's the Hyphy Collective, which Rihanna Valentine has started down at Barnaby's Lounge, and they have musicians who will improvise along to a poet, really interesting.
I love that. That's very beat, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's right. Nice to the beat.
It's very exciting. You get on stage and you can say to the musicians, okay, give me something that's a bit sinister or a bit fun, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah,
you know,
they'll start playing. And then they flow with you.
That's back to Kerouac, isn't it? We just need a polar neck and some dark glasses. That's it.
Yeah.
And a lot of smoke. Yes, that's right. Very, and you've got to be
loose. Yeah.
So it's really problematic in the summer, I think, being either a folk or a poet. Yeah. Either a folk or a poet, you're just stuck. What do you do? What is the summer version of this?
I don't know.
I don't think they were sundressed women. I think the women were very much, they stayed this look. Sorry, we're not mocking.
No, it's funny. What else do you want to let us know about?
What else is there on poetry? Yeah, there's so much going on. Sometimes you can go to an open mic poetry night, three or four nights on the trot, if you want to. And, you know, if you want to destroy your marriage and things like that. But it's quite remarkable.
Do you find you duck in and duck out if you're double booked? Double book? You know, I've got to go to this one and that one.
Yes,
and I've got to be seeing
them both. Actually, yes. I did that fairly recently. Mm. Did two different open mic nights on the same night. Yeah.
Discreetly.
Is it a French exit or an Irish exit?
No, darling, it's a French exit. We did exactly this. Actually, we schooled John in the French exit, didn't we?
Did you?
An Irish exit takes forever.
Oh, yeah.
A French exit is, I'm not making a fuss, I'm leaving. I'm just backing out.
Yeah, my wife says it's backdooring. I'm backdooring it now.
The idea of our town has plenty of open mics.
So many.
Double book.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we can do that all the time. We realise, I've got to be at three things, and I want to go to all of them. I want to be, you know, so you have to work out your time.
Yeah.
And you're saying exactly that, aren't you, when it comes to poetry?
That's right. That's what the town's like, isn't it?
So I saw a woman recently posted, because I'm a socials girl, I love the socials woman, actually, and she said, I'm new to town, and I quite like poetry. And I just went in, I went, you have no idea. You absolutely have no idea. You could not be bored. Mm. So yeah. I listed a few of things and I sent her a bit of a signpost and she came back and went, thank you so much. There's so nice. Much to do. And you go, you've come to the right place.
Yeah.
You found your home, your tribe.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been like that for a long time. You know, I'm fairly new to it, but people like Ollie Spleen and John Knowles have been doing this sort of stuff for decades.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ollie, we're going to have him on for an interview fairly soon.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
I think he's performing at the launch as well.
Yeah,
on the 18th. Yeah, he's been very involved in that.
Yeah, I love it. So what's it like being a poet? Now you found your 3 years in.
It's funny, it gets busier and busier. You know, everything I do, something else will spin out of it. You know, sure. Often somebody comes up to you at the end of a performance and says... I do a radio show in Seaford, for example, which happened recently. Did you mind if I read your poem out on the breakfast show? Fine. And and I got involved with Henry Normal that way. He just saw me perform a couple of times in Hastings and he sidled up to me at one of these gigs and said, would you be interested in supporting me on a tour of libraries around East Sussex? And so now we've done all 17 public libraries in East Sussex together. So it's called the Henry Normal Poetry Hour, and I do a support act for about 20 minutes.
Sure, you warm up.
It's great, yeah. Well, he puts me in the middle. He's such a generous, supportive guy. But he says, don't worry, I'll warm them up for you, because, you know, he's the absolute pro at this.
Yeah.
So he'll talk for 20 minutes and do some poetry and jokes and things, and by the time I come on, they're already loving it. So
nice.
It's nice and easy for me.
Yeah.
And then he comes back up.
So what sort of reception did you get at the libraries?
Oh, great. I mean, you get a lovely crowd of people there. It's very different to doing a bar like 1200 Postcards or a rowdy place like the Jenny Lind or something. Everybody will sit there and they're very attentive and they listen carefully. We played to about 600 people altogether on that tour. Nice. So sometimes it's just a dozen people, like we did Hollington Library, for example, which is tiny.
Yes.
But up to Eastbourne Library, you might get 50 or 60 people in there.
Yeah.
What kind of things did you perform there? What sort of topics were you exploring?
A real mix. I mean, Henry's very keen on the whole public library system. You know, he credits it for bringing him from a quite nondescript sort of working class background, but he learnt a lot of what he knows just by going to the library when he was a kid, so he enthuses about them and he's very defensive about them, so he starts out talking about that, but then we both use those gigs as places to try new material. Henry will try out new jokes or new poems and just to see what the reaction is, and then the best ones will feed into his Radio 4 programs or his bigger gigs. You know, these are tiny by his standards. He'll play to 1,000 or more people sometimes in the big theatres.
Well, it's his fringe.
Yeah, he's a patron of the book festival, he encouraged me to set up the fringe, which I work with a few other people. There's Barnaby Davies at Barnaby's Lounge and Gwendolyn Coates and Della Reynolds. And the four of us, last year, we decided to try and put together the first Fringe, the Book Festival Fringe. So we did, and we put on about 11 events last year. And then this year we've got more. We've got about 21 or 22.
Wow.
So most of it takes place at Barnaby's Lounge.
Yep.
Some of it elsewhere, some in the library. We've got some children's events in the library. And also the opening night, we've got a drama event at the Hot Tap Theatre in St Andrew's Mews.
Dean Stallings.
Yes, that's right.
That's sold out already, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good.
Dean says he can cram 55 people in there, so we've got 55 bookings.
Excellent.
That's
St Andrew's Mews, isn't it?
St Andrew's Mews, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's about an hour of drama, and then we're having an after party, which is sort of the launch party for the main festival and the Fringe.
Yeah.
So people like Chris Connolly will be there, and the book festival volunteers.
Exactly.
And hopefully lots of people coming down for a drink
I'll
and a
there.
Chat. Yeah, great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely going to be there.
Yeah.
Where's the best spot for a writing session? Do you have a favourite place to write or
to actually write?
Good question.
That's a good question. Barnaby's Lounge. They do these sessions. I think twice a week now, Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons. They have a writer's cafe where you can just go along and write for a couple of hours in the company of other people. Dead quiet. Yeah, they do it upstairs, and then afterwards they'll go down for a drink and a coffee and a chat. Nice. But that's a good place. We did this event every November. We try to write a 50,000 word novel in a month at Barnaby's. This used to be called NaNoWriMo, which was a sort of global project. That was quite something. There'd be a bunch of us down there madly scribbling away. You have to write 1,670 words per day on average for the whole of November, and then you've got a 50,000 word novel. Barnaby's is a very inspiring place. They do visual arts, jazz, writing,
what Barnaby
poetry.
Doesn't do, you could write on the back of a stamp.
Yeah.
So, okay, now as a coach, I have to work with people who often get writer's block.
Right.
So when you say you're going to write this novel of how many thousand words?
50,000 words.
50,000. Yeah. I thought there was a zero in there. So when you've got that, and it's like, how do you do that? Just your process. How do you, when you're under pressure, because there's going to be people here watching this who are going to be sitting there saying, oh my God, how would I do that? Give us an idea, Tim.
The tips were just write, even if it's rubbish. Mm. It's not supposed to be the finished product.
Yeah.
And in fact, the one that I wrote, I'm still editing it now, like nearly 2 years later.
Yeah.
So the idea is just to get a crappy first draft out, basically. So just plough on, even if you think this will never make it into the finished
product. You write that in, don't you? Yeah. Even if this will never make it in. Because that's how we used to start,
That's
so when a client would start, I'd say, they'd start saying, I'm really frustrated. And you go, start with, I'm really frustrated, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm writing all this stuff. And the next thing you know, they've half filled the journal with their frustration.
Yeah.
And now that's come out.
Yeah.
So
that evolves into something else, possibly.
It could be a different book.
Yeah, it might be a book about writer's
frustration.
Block. Yeah, it's crap. The other tip is to have a glass of wine, frankly. Always helps me.
It does help, yeah.
But being around other people as well is a good spur. You know, you can talk about things. You can say, look, I'm writing this story and I don't know where it's going next. And then people will throw ideas at you.
Sure. It's like being in a room full of creatives.
Exactly.
Where you're all working creatively. That energy itself travelling through the room.
Yeah. It's quite weird that, even if you're not talking to each other,
osmosis,
if you can
almost
see other people scribbling away or typing and think, then it gives you an energy somehow.
Exactly. Mm. It's only like being in a studio, isn't it, of creatives, whether you're architects or graphic designers, if they're all together, it's like, what do you do when you get that bit where you think,
it keeps the energy up.
It does. What is it? The rising tide lifts all boats, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Good one.
Yeah, that wasn't me. I didn't.
I'll just write that down.
It's an old phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, nice one. So you created the Hastings Book Festival Fringe.
Not alone, but
not alone.
The others do more than me, actually. But I do the social media for it. Barnaby does a lot of the organisation at the place, obviously.
Yeah.
Ticketing through his website,
and
Gwendolyn and Della get a lot of the speakers in and sort of coordinate the people who actually deliver sessions. We've got all sorts of different things like readings, book launches, workshops. The big one this year is a workshop with John Hegley, which is at Barnaby's, only £20. Including a drink.
Yeah.
But that's quite a catch. Yeah. He's performing at the main book festival.
He is.
But we've got him for a morning workshop as well.
Nice.
So we do work with the main book festival. You know, we meet with Chris regularly and the other committee members there. And we try and make sure that our events don't clash and that we're not trying to tread on each other's toes.
You complement each other, don't you?
Hopefully,
which is important. Yeah, you buoy each other up. So what would a workshop look like? What would you get in a workshop?
With John Hegley? I've no idea. He's quite a character, isn't it? Anything could happen there. There's another one with Sue Bradshaw as well, as a poetry workshop where I think she's going to take found things as an inspiration, like, you know, I don't know, pick shopping lists out of a bin or something. And
work. Oh, God.
I love finding a shopping list on the floor or a note, you know, just blown across the beach, and it's like, dear Mrs. Mungo, you know, I love you. And it's like, oh, where's Mrs. Mungo? I want to take this back to them.
But we'll make it the beginning of something. Description.
Yeah, all human life is in the bin.
It is. Oh, no. Is that yours? Is that one of yours?
No, we won't use that one.
I love that, though. No, it's a great opener. That would attract me to look at it as a cover.
I'll do a poem for you. Not right now.
No.
I'll work on it.
Yeah,
that's fun. It's a good opener, definitely.
It is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, okay, a question we ask everybody. Mm. So, Hastings.
Yeah.
Your relationship with Hastings, how you got to be here. What is it about Hastings? Are you a lifer? That's terrible.
No.
Are you born and bred here?
I'm just doing a 10-year stretch.
12 years.
It's not worse than Vasey.
It's not.
Yeah. That's right. No, I'm...
Tell us about your relationship with Hastings.
I've lived here for 11 years.
Nice.
I'm from Derby originally. I'm Derbyshire born and bred. And I came down to London to do my degree when I was about 20. And then stayed in London.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of my life in London, really. Lived elsewhere, like Yorkshire, for a couple of years. But gradually drifted south for the weather.
You floated down.
For the sunshine.
It was for the weather, was it? Or was it for somebody?
No, I met my wife in London, and we had a child, and we were living in a one-bedroom flat in London. It's probably a very common story, I think, but... Mm-hmm. You have to move out of London because the property is so ridiculously expensive.
Exactly.
So we realised we could have a nice house by the sea down here instead. And we have friends here who lived on All Saints Street in the old town. And we used to come down a couple of times a year anyway to stay with them, and always loved Hastings.
Mm.
And we thought, wow, we could live in Hastings. Imagine that. So we came down about 11 years ago. And at first I commuted into London. I had a job up there and did that for a murderous 3 years, but the trains were just so painful.
They are, aren't they?
And so eventually got rid of that job, and now I work from home. I still have a day job, and I can't make enough money out of poetry to live. Still have to do
not
a day
yet.
Job.
Not yet. So what is it you love about it here? I make that assumptive. I'm making an assumptive statement. What is it you love?
No, we do love it. We wouldn't dream of moving anywhere else now, you know, and that happened really quickly. We just settled straight in.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when we moved here, we had another friend who lived here already, who'd come down from London, and she said, whatever you're doing at the moment, Hastings will change you. You'll be doing something else pretty soon. And she was dead right, you know.
Yeah.
You get involved in some sort of network of people or some artistic venture or something.
Yeah. And
you end up doing something much more interesting than you were before.
Mm.
We're really embedded here now. You know, my son's 11 now. He's going to school around here. And we wouldn't move anywhere else. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the coast, the countryside.
There's a thread of courage, isn't there? Indeed. They're all very attractive. There is a thread of courage, isn't there? That if you, you know, what do you want to do? Oh, as you're having a drink. Oh, I could do so-and-so. Yeah, let's do it. When are you going to do it?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it's a sort of daring place. You know?
It is daring.
People take all sorts of risks, right, don't they?
Off you go.
That's it.
Like even the 1,200 postcards from just going there to now running the poetry open mic. That's that's great.
That's
You become a person. A person in that respect.
Person about town.
Have you met Tim?
Yeah.
Tim Gardo. Oh, which is great.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
So, no, it's a great town. There's just so much going on. You know, whatever your interest is, you can find a a group of people doing the similar thing, can't you?
Everyone lives here.
Yeah. Have other friends followed you down?
They have actually. my wife's mum and dad came down, and a couple of friends have moved since. My wife's like an estate agent sometimes. She says, you've got to come here. I'll look for places for you, you know.
I'll come round and show you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't go there, but go there, definitely. Oh, nice one.
But, yeah, lovely town. Great place.
Lovely. So, is there anything else you'd like to add? Is there anything? Because you came in with one big list.
Yeah. Oh,
we need to speak about this.
Yes, we do. It's been sitting there, hasn't it? That's another new book.
This is fairly new. This is my own collection of poems. There's about 60 odd poems in here. And this is a self-published version. I just made this on Amazon.
Yeah.
But it's going to be published by a proper publisher.
Smell it.
So if you want to buy this, you can search for me on Amazon, you'll find it. But a publisher's going to do it properly through Henry Normal.
Wow.
He put me in touch with his publisher, which is Flapjack Press up in Manchester.
Nice.
And they've said, I've signed a contract with them and they're editing it at the moment. They're going to produce a proper version, which will be in bookshops hopefully in January.
So cool, yeah.
So I love the fact, one of the quotes that I saw was, You take a sideways look at society. I think that's really beautiful. So what does that mean?
I guess that's, if I've got a style at all, that's it. They're all contemporary poems, you know. Yeah. It's not about babbling brooks and all that sort of thing. It's usually about...
You're not a romantic.
Not particularly, no. I like to do very down-to-earth stuff about everyday people and funny situations. There's quite a lot of comedy in there. There's some serious ones, but it's all mostly set in the modern day, and it's looking at society, going, that's a bit weird, you know. Why do people do that?
Do you know what I'd love to hear? Mm. I'd love to hear you recite one of your poems.
Yes.
Would you be up
there?
Yeah,
sure.
Because I think that would be a lovely way. So this is The Edge of England. What a great book! So you can find this on Amazon. give us a putting the book down. Look,
I could do a quatern for you if you like.
Oh yes,
since we're talking about it, which is called "We're Just Coming Up to Our Finest." This one was inspired by a bloke I knew in a pub. I used to run a pub some years ago up in Derby, and I had a regular customer who was very old and very ill. And he used to stagger into the pub every day for his medicine. and you'd say, how are you today, Terry? And he'd always say, I'm just coming up to me finest, which always got a laugh around the bar, you know, because he obviously wasn't. But it was that sort of determined optimism.
So
I wrote a quatern about that. And it goes like this. We're just coming up to our finest time, a tipping point somewhere between the work that we've done and the pleasures to come. We're neither too grey nor too green. We're mature in the mind and young in the heart. We're just coming up to our finest. The snow-covered peaks are now clearly in view. The climb is mostly behind us. We're not burdened by guilt. We carry no fear. We know what we do and don't like. We're just coming up to our finest time. The graphs of our lives will soon spike. So come and sit down at this table with us. Bring us your smiles and the wine list. Let's show all our loved ones who cannot be here. We're just coming up to our finest.
Wow. That is fabulous.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm kind of like,
More. We can find you also on Substack.
I've got a Substack. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. So I publish all of my work on Substack and bits of it on the other social media sites.
There was a piece you wrote fairly recently about how poetry is resistance, the kind of quiet resistance.
Yeah,
I really love that sentiment.
Yes,
talk about that some.
Yeah, I can. That came out of a little essay that I read by Joelle Taylor, the performance poet. She's brilliant. But she was writing about how an open mic night is a great sort of rebellion against what we're supposed to do. You know, you're supposed to sit at home and watch the telly.
Status quo.
Yeah, and, you know, stare at your phone and buy things, you know, online and whatever. So she said, just the fact of getting people out of that and into a place, they're all talking to each other, they're all sharing something.
Community.
They've spent time writing something, the poets. And so it's like an act of rebellion. She said something like writing a poem is an act of rebellion and performing it is a revolution, something along those lines. So, yeah, I wrote a poem around that theme. And it's a nice intro to an open mic night, you know, it says, like, welcome, you know, let's do
comrades,
this.
Comrades,
yeah, that's right.
But we are comrades in arms in that respect, aren't we?
Yeah.
Same as we have that we're feeling, actually, we're doing this because it's an act of rebellion.
Yeah,
it's an act of joyful revolution.
Celebration.
Celebration, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I did a similar thing. Selena Godden did an interview with Lucas, the Peaceful Poet. I don't know if you saw that as part of the Poet Town project.
Yeah.
And she said a similar thing. She writes about it in the introduction to this book, I think. But she was saying that poetry is a sort of act of revolution. You know, this is how we do it. You know, we all connect together and then we connect with poets in other towns and build a network of people who are sort of slightly outside of society. You know, and that's how you do your revolution.
Yeah, and keeping the spoken word in the act of performance, that is, to me, is the biggest one. So you write, you think about it, you write it down, and then you speak.
Yes,
and that having our voices heard is the most important thing ever.
Yeah, it is. And you get a massive mixture of people and opinions and styles at an open mic. You know, it's not like we're all doing the same thing and waving the same flag at all, but... It's just great to have a conversation through poetry, really.
Totally. And on that wonderful note...
Thank you very
joy.
Much.
That was so lovely.
Yeah. What a joy.
It's been a pleasure, yeah.
So this will be our first with you, because there'll be more.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, though, that'll be great.
Be happy to come back.
Yeah, what we'd like to do is a night with poets.
Yeah.
You know, when everyone's around so they can, you know, we can hear you all and hear you all discuss with poetry.
Yeah.
But it'd be great.
It would.
We'll get you to organise that then.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
Oh, bless you.
Okay.
Tim, you've been an absolute joy.
Cheers.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Our town has plenty, and thank you for being here. Thank you for moving here. Tim Barlow, everybody.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.